Good morning. Thank you, David. Thank you, Clara. A beautiful introduction. Sethu is not here this morning. He called about 9 o'clock saying he was sick. So we had to scramble around and make some changes. So thank you all for filling in for us. Okay. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, a place where we can come to worship you and to worship your Son, and to reclaim our faith and to be encouraged, Father, to move forward in this world. Bless us now as we go throughout this service. Let us open our hearts and minds to your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, Jerry is not here. Sethu's not here. I don't know why I need to be here. I mean, what's the big deal, you know? I said, Doris, do you think they'd miss me if I wasn't here this morning? So good seeing y'all today. You know, a few of us that we are, but that's all right. The Lord says wherever two or three are gathered there, we'll be in your midst. A couple things I'm going to go over, and y'all correct me if I've got something wrong. As you know, George Williams passed away this week, and we are in prayer for Gail and his family. The information I have is that he's going to have two viewings. Lynn, I think it's Monday and 5 to 7 at Marion.
At the funeral home,
okay. Westmoreland, okay. And then Tuesday, 1 to 3 at Mount Harmony at Eichard, and his funeral will follow at 3 o'clock. Here a year ago during our homecoming, him and Gail, as they sang, and he played the guitar. It was such a good service. And he served here how many years? 12 years. Wow. That is a tribute to him. And so we need to, I don't know the protocol here we follow about a family, send the family a flower or a tribute or something. I don't know how that what we do here.
Whatever they suggested in the obituary there, we'll send something.
Okay. All right. I knew we did something.
A memorial.
A memorial. That's what it was. That big word, memorial. Okay.
It actually was a little strange. The obituary, I thought, it listed both churches, and it didn't say and. It didn't say Mount Harmony and Burke Chapel. So I guess you pick whichever one.
Yeah, okay. Well, he will be missed. He will definitely be missed. If you'll notice, we started something new, okay? We have what we call a person of the week. Now, let me tell you what that is. A person of the week is someone that needs your prayers and your thoughts and the knowledge that they're important. What we're asking y'all to do is this week, when you focus on just one person, that you call them, send them cards or letters, you know, and check up on them. Just kind of flood them with all kinds of attention, you know, a little TLC. And that really perks them up. That makes them know that they're important. So we had three this week. We had, of course, Gail. Maxie and Jerry have COVID, okay? We went by to see him the other day. It took him, I think, 6 or 8 bowls of soup. We weren't Meals on Wheels. We were Soupy on Wheels. But we dropped them off there, and we had 3 or 4 kinds of soup we cooked on Friday and took them by there. And they were most appreciative. And then Gary, you surprised us today, brother. We're glad to have you. You're on our list this week, too. So as you can see, your name was at the top. So I like that idea that we spend a week with just one person, focusing all the attention, everything on them. It's just a good feeling to know that people are looking out after you or for you. All Saints Day. Now, this is what we have in the hopper, okay? October 30th, 2 weeks from today, we're going to have All Saints Day. Now, we mailed out letters this week Jerry, did you get yours? You didn't get yours. And Gene didn't get his. Oh, maybe. Well, that's usually a good place for letters. Okay. But let me tell you what the letter says, okay? It says that we're going to have All Saints Sunday, October 30th. We are going to have a meal. We haven't decided how we're going to do that yet, but I'll tell you that Bollinger's Chapel is going to cater their meat, and everybody else bring a vegetable or a dessert, okay? We're going to have a special place for your loved ones. If you want to bring a picture of your loved ones, we're going to have a little All Saints board. Doris is working on that now, where you can put a picture up of your loved one. We're going to have it in our kitchen. I'm glad I didn't say cafeteria. We're going to have it in our kitchen, okay? And if you want to speak about your loved ones, something about their life, if you want to bring some other things other than pictures, bring that. And then we'll have our meal. And then we're going to have we're going to take that All Saints board, and we're going to put it in the prayer room where it will stay until the first of the year. Now, we have another surprise. There's also the day that we're going to dedicate our Becky Clark Library. We've already got a plaque. It's in the car. Doris was going to go get it, but she couldn't have got back in because the door's locked. But then we know about locked doors on the side of the church. Ask Lynn, okay? So she, well, and I didn't have to go get the keys. I said, just, we'll get it later, okay? But we've got a special plaque for her. It'll be put on the door. And we're planning to decorate. We worked in the library on Friday. And we've got most of it. We had to get some more bookcases, so we got some more bookcases. And we'll have the whole room set up with candles and stuff and decorated, probably with some flowers in there. And we're going to have a special dedication of the library in Becky's name. And the whole Clark family is coming. They're coming from two different states. We don't know how many is going to be here, but Doris got a message the other day that they are all coming. The three daughters, their families, and everybody's coming, okay? So that was, I didn't expect that to happen, but it was nice when she told that Doris got the email saying, we will the whole family. So it's going to be a great, we'll dedicate the library that same Sunday. I don't know, we hadn't got the details. After the service, on our way to the meal, okay? We'll have a little dedication there, and then we'll go eat, and then we'll have our lunch, and then we'll have people that want to talk about their loved ones. We'll have the Saint board put up, and it'll be your time to share anything you want to share with your loved one that is now a saint.
And that's also birthdays and anniversaries.
Well, you want to just throw Halloween in there too while we're at it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Jerry, where are you, buddy, when I need you? All right. Those of you that have a sense of humor, we're going to have some old folks out front in the parking lot, and we're going to have trunk or treat, okay? And I'm going to wear my moose costume. And I have a moose costume with antlers and everything. And I'm going to do my best to embarrass my wife, which is not hard to do. But we're going to be out there having out candy and everything out in the parking lot. So if you want to come see your pastor in a moose outfit, it might be worth the picture. Okay. Got that. What am I missing? Anything? Everything okay? Okay. All right. Do y'all have any questions? Everybody okay with that? All right. We got a lot coming up. Okay. So, yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I've got a question.
Okay. What we did, Lynn.
Who had passed away within the last couple of years.
We did that just for the people that passed away since we've been here as a pastoral family.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. We just did that as a pastoral. Yeah, but I think we had Glenda and Nell and Becky and David and Johnny's. Yeah, so we've got five. So those are the ones we're going to focus on. Okay, and I'm sorry, Carol's not here today. I'm sure she's got a letter.
Carol tasted positive for COVID. She called me.
I'm going to have to lock you people up and leave you here till next Sunday. but gosh, that's case number four. Yeah. Well, we'll remember these folks in our prayers. We thought this thing was bypass us, and now it's kind of on with a new vengeance. So anyhow. Are there anything else we need to in the way of... Yes. Hey, Pam. C or a K?
Pardon?
You said Christy?
C-H-R-S.
And what's your last name, Pam?
M-C-G-I-N-L-E-Y.
And I didn't hear everything. She has a tumor? Did I hear that? What did she say?
Ulcer.
We will sure. Are there any others? A cyst on his eye? All right, brother, we'll remember you, okay? Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, you've heard our pleas this morning, our concerns. We've raised up to you all of those that we have mentioned today, the bereaved, the lost of loved ones, those that are homesick, with COVID, those that have health issues with their eyes, with Don and Christy. Oh, Father, but the headlines we read this week of the ongoing set of one mass shooting after another, and now we had one come so close to home. Father, we don't understand what causes a person to want to take another's life, an innocent life. How do they become so filled with rage and anger that they are willing to destroy the lives of others? Father, these lost souls, we lay at your feet today. We ask you to lay your loving hands on them. And Father, help us as Christians to do our part in this world, to share your love with others, to share our faith, to share our smile, and to share our concerns. Father, the world is the way it is because Satan has gotten hold and He is sharing his evil throughout the world. His division among our leaders and among our neighbors and among our friends, even among our family, to destroy anything good that you have given us. Father, that is why we need to be reminded so often of holding on to our faith and to look to you for guidance and for strength, especially in times of right now. Is the chaos and anger and arrogance and death surrounding us. We need to rise above all of this like our mountaintops that hold all their colors to look at you in the beauty of a sunset or a sunrise, to read your scriptures that we hold so dear, and to be reminded once again of the great love that you have for each and every one of us. And now, Father, we ask your blessings upon this service. Open our hearts and minds to your word. And let us be ever mindful of your presence as we walk with you. And now, Father, let us remember those sacred words you taught us thousands of years ago when your disciples were lost. And they said, well, Lord, how do we pray? And you said to say these words: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us stand now as we sing Lead On, O King Eternal, verses 1 and 3. Page 5 or 8 if you're looking at a book.
Lead on, O King Eternal, the day of March has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tent shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fears, for gladness breaks like morning wherever thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.
Let us remain standing for the reading of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated, please. Lynn, thank you for that beautiful solo. Kind of hard sometimes when we have to throw in the ring here. You got to do something at the last minute. But teachers were used to it. But anyhow. As I was putting together the sermon this week, seems like every time I cut on the TV or saw a headline, we had another mass shooting somewhere. And then when it hit home to Raleigh, where some of us even have families there, about a young 15-year-old boy that first killed his brother, went on a killing spree himself. And I asked myself, what is it about such a young life that can build up so much rage and anger that the only way to release it is to take someone else's life and then take your own? How is it that our world has become so much like this, where mass shootings are almost becoming a weekly occurrence? If you read your scripture passage from 2 Peter, I'm not going to read it to you this morning, but I'll refer to it often. Peter is trying to prepare us for what's coming, because he knew his time was coming to an end on this earth, and he wanted to make sure we heard his message a final time. You see, we sometimes think that in our modern day 21st century that the tragedies that are happening around us that are making news is something that's new, that this is not something that's been around a while. Try to imagine Peter's time and Paul's time, you know, the line of the road with where you have absolutely hundreds of crucified men nailed to a cross just outside your door. That was the ancient times that they lived in. The Roman government was not shy about executing anybody for anything. As a matter of fact, at Christ's crucifixion, our researchers tell us that at that time, the Romans had crucified over 30,000 men. So death and fear was a way of life back then. And what Peter tried to tell us in his scripture passage in 2 Peter, hey, look, this is not the reality of our world. We have to focus on the scriptures that God has given us from even thousands of years ago. And then when we hear these scriptures, we get the assurance that God is still here, that God is still in charge and he still walks with us. If you were to ask me the question, why does God permit these things to happen? The lesson that I have learned is he doesn't. He doesn't. It's a myth for us to think that when we hear this tragedy about innocent lives being taken, that's somehow part of God's plan. It is not. It's a part of Satan's plan. And so oftentimes, when things like this hit home, we need to find someone to blame. So we blame God. It's an ongoing event that's happened in humanity since the beginning of time. And it's so hard for us to wrap our minds around the very scripture passages that we have read in the past. When Peter's saying, don't focus on this. Focus on me. Focus on your Creator. Focus on those things that make a difference in this world. And you and I would have no doubt that this poor young man that has destroyed his life and others along with had he known Christ as his personal Savior, if someone had taken the time to share him about this love of God that's in him, that's all around him, that he could find that peace and that comfort in the Scriptures, and to know by faith that he is loved by God, this tragic event would never have occurred. And Peter, in one last effort to remind us of the divine nature and righteousness of our Creator, he's reminding us of the good life that Christ has given us the day he sacrificed himself on the cross, that our sins are bought and paid for. We are his children. And we have to keep pursuing that holiness that seems to escape the whole world. Now, what do we mean by holiness? When you say, Steve, what do you mean? I mean, I think I know what you mean, but spell it out for me. Okay, here it is. It's about our faith. It's about our faith in God and our faith in each other. It's about moral excellence, where we strive to be better than the world. It's about self-control. It's about perseverance. It's about kindness. It's about love. Everything the world is against, we are for. And all we have to do is pick up the paper and see another event, another crime, another shooting, another death. And we know that Satan is doing a good job with these lost souls because they don't know any other way. And you and I have the answers. We are his disciples. We can offer the world a whole different perspective on someone's life. And it's as simple as if they would just turn their heart and life over to Christ. Something that Christ has been begging for us to do since our creation. Folks, it's not rocket science. This isn't hard. The very things he is asking us to do are Scripture. We are being called as his disciples to step forward out of the fog into the limelight of life itself and present our life in a moment of faith and love and compassion for each other. You see, beloved, it's God's divine nature that gives us everything we need. He provides for us the open door to all eternity. There is our proof. Or even David's beautiful cross over there. It inspires me every Sunday when I see it. The message is as simple as it can be. And yet, why does humanity choose time and time again to turn towards other things that create such chaos and evil? I'm going to give you a listing of things that you and I can do. And it's as simple as it is profound. So this is what God is telling us as Christians, that we carry his message, and here we go. There's notepads on the back of those bulletins if you want to take notes. I won't think you're sleeping if you're headed down. Number one, be a light in the world. Live in harmony with each other. Be at peace. Enjoy your life like you enjoy being alive. Because you and I know where we're going, don't we? Okay? And do everything out of love. Let your light shine before all the world. You are a gift from God that he gave you to give back to the world. Last night, it's a very simplistic story, but I think it lends itself to this number one here. I was in a restaurant getting our meals from my son and Doris and I, and We were up in the mountains last night. And this waitress, not she wouldn't wait, she was looked like a manager. She would walk around. I never saw her do anything, but just. And I'm sitting there, and I look, and I'm smiling, you know. And she looks up, and she goes. And she walks on. She smiled the rest of the time we were there, you know. That little smile. And if I'd have gone, she'd have gone, you know. But as simple as it sounds, what did I do? God put me there for a reason. To bring a little bit of cheer in that woman's life. It don't have to be big stuff. Number two, be a gift unto others. Shine your light into other people. And you begin to transform this world one person at a time. That's your gift. Number three, help those in need. Be there for your loved ones. Be there for your family. Be there for your neighbor in need. Those that feel lost and lonely and loved and unworthy, you and I are called to be there for them. This is Jesus healed the sick and the poor and the blind and the lame and the leprosy. We are called to do the same. We are called to be there for those in need. We are his disciples. If we were there for the world wouldn't be in the mess it was, or it is. Number four, be a voice for those that don't have a voice. Now, most of you know that I have been a part of the hospice program now for about 2 months. I wish I had time to share with you all these wonderful experiences I had, but I've been serving as a chaplain intern. And we went into a place, I won't mention his name because you would know where it is. And we went into this locked room. And after they shut the door, I kept thinking, they are going to let me out, aren't they? But I remember seeing several people all around different places, most of them in wheelchairs, their tables. One was bawling. She had her head on the table, and she was just boo-hooing. Another one is sitting there in a wheelchair with food all over her face, down her front, in her lap, down her legs, on the floor. Nobody was doing anything. And she just sat there like this. I thought, I can't handle this. I went and got a clean towel, put water on it, and I went down and got on my knees, and I started cleaning her up. Well, I didn't know till the next day that I had committed a crime, sort of like, that I had stepped out of my responsibilities as a chaplain, and I wasn't even really a chaplain. I was just a student observing. And I was told that I need to be careful because I could be held in liability. And I kept thinking to myself, why? Because I was not a trained CNA or a trained nurse or a trained doctor. I started to use my doctor title, but I didn't do it. When I was cleaning, I kept thinking, nobody's here doing it. Why could that be an issue? And then, just shortly thereafter, I was invited to Gastonia to have breakfast with two other chaplains, and they would talk to me about a clinical psychologist component, which they said I should take as a chaplain. I didn't know what they meant as further training or because they thought I needed counseling. I didn't know. And I told them about the story and said, you shouldn't be doing that. I said, I am not going to sit beside and watch a person that's in need and sit there and fold my arms up. They need a voice. They need attention. They need somebody to take care of them in that moment. And I was it. And I said, I can't tell you all the colorful metaphors I used at that time about what I thought about their liability issues. But I said, this person needed help. This person needed to be loved. This person needed attention. And I am God's disciple, and I'm going to do it. Judge no one. Number five, judge no one. You remember the story I preached one not too long ago where Jesus said, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. Beloved, you all know what we carry. You know the sins we have. And yet how easy it is for us to sit in judgment of someone that's different from us. That someone has a different political view. That someone has a different background, a different culture. We do not have the right to judge others. That is for God to do. Beloved, good isn't always good, and dark isn't always dark. We need to focus on our own journey and do our best to learn the lessons that God has taught us in our lives. Criticism is not part of our mission as a disciple of Christ. Number 6, pray with your heart in all earnest. Spend at least 5 minutes a day in prayer with your Lord. Pray for wisdom. Pray for courage. Pray for love. Pray for compassion. Pray for peace. And pray for humanity. And pray for your own healing and the healing of the world we live in. And with all your heart, know that you are loved by God, and He expects you to take that love and share it with the world. Number 7, nurture your life. Nurture your soul. Take care of you. Have fun. Have fun. You can't be a light unto the others if your light is too dim. And the way you bring up that light is to use your life for goodness for others, and to take care of yourself. Do some things you enjoy doing. Play golf. Take your family out to eat. Go do things together. Sit around, make plans for Thanksgiving. Make plans for Christmas and do some shopping. Yes, shopping. Have fun. Do something with your loved ones. Enjoy your life and be good to yourself. So oftentimes, people that take their own lives hate who they are. They hate who they are. And this young man probably in all likelihood shot himself because he hates himself. How can we tell the whole world that we are children of God, that we are special, that we are royalty? And when we do, when we take pride in that, it gives a whole new perspective on who we are as a person. We are told to take care of ourselves and to enjoy it, to enjoy the things of life that God has given us. Nurture your soul. Number 8, be a light in this dark world. Laugh. Have a good time. I remember in college, we were a part of the BSU. Somebody brought in a big picture of Jesus, just with this big laugh on his face. He's just laughing and having a good time. And we so oftentimes forget that laughter was part of his life. That Jesus could smile. He could laugh. He could enjoy time with his disciples. We don't do that often enough. We're so serious. And last, do all things in the name of love. Whatever you do in this world, do it out of love. Do it for the benefit of yourself. Do it for the benefit of your neighbors. Do it for the benefit of your family. Do it for the benefit of the world. And do it out of love. And this is how, beloved, your light will become brighter. And you become a living example of God's love in this world. It is as simple and so simplistic and as profound as that. We are called to be disciples of Christ. Let us remember that. Let us hold fast to that truth. As Peter was telling us in the scriptures, do not forget the awesome power you have as a Christian. We are called to be disciples of Christ. and we have to follow all these things. And in so doing, this dark world will someday find the light of grace and the light of hope, and pray the day that Christ leads us all into eternity. That's our mission. That's our calling, to be the light in this dark world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us stand now as we sing "More Love to Thee, O Christ," verses 1, 2, and 3.
Bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he be with you in your rising up and your lying down, and your labor and your leisure and your laughter and in your tears, until the day when you see Jesus, a day where there's no sunset and no dawning. Amen. Have things slowed down at work any at all?
Yeah, it's market time. Like I say, you know how it is at market time.
I do.
I got to go to High Point tomorrow for that.